into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return." We could even go to Psalm 23, couldn't we? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." When you need an extra measure of confidence in your life, we have this promise: "But in all things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us." When you need wisdom, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. When you have to wait, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. When you're afraid, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For He will give His angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Great, great promises from God. And there would literally be hundreds more if we were to take the time and search the Scriptures. This morning, we want to look at the life of a man whose abiding testimony was one of taking God at His Word, of standing every day on the promises of Scripture. This man stood with great faith and integrity. He was a witness for many years to the manifold promises of God being a reality in the life of a believer. I want to introduce you this morning to George Mueller. Now, I want to pause here for just a minute and say something to our young people. This picture was drawn almost 200 years ago, and I just wanted to remind you that you guys aren't the ones that came up with these new hairstyles. George is looking good there, isn't he? I think he invented the spike or whatever they call that. I think if it was in color, it's probably purple and green, but I'm not sure. George Mueller was born in 1805. And until he became a Christian in 1825, there was, by his own admission, quote, "hardly a sin into which I had not fallen," end quote. He was a thief, a liar, a gambler. He was forever cheating and devising new cunning and devious methods to fulfill his own evil desires. He was fueled in his pursuits of evil by his constant companion, and that was alcohol. Even when his mother lay dying while he was only 14 years old, he was found roaming in the streets drunk. He continued this rebellious lifestyle until, when he was 16, he was arrested. His father paid to get him out of prison, summarily beat him, and then decided to move him to another city rather than suffer the embarrassment himself that his son continued to bring. Ultimately, he and his father decided together that the ministry would be best suited for George Mueller. They had no spiritual aspirations whatsoever, but it was a pretty good source of income, they decided, so they enlisted him in divinity school. Then, on a Saturday in November 1825, at the age of 20, Mueller was invited to a Bible study. And he writes, "It was to me as if I'd found something after which I'd been seeking all my life long. I immediately wished to go. They read the Bible, sang, prayed, and read a printed sermon. To his amazement," Mueller said, "the whole made a deep impression on me. I was happy, though if I'd been asked why I was happy, I could not have clearly explained it. I have not the least doubt that on that evening, God began a work of grace in me. That evening was the turning point in my life." Mueller would go to England in the hope of being a missionary with the London Missionary Society, but God wasn't yet finished equipping Mueller for the work that He had planned for him. Mueller became very sick, and in the summer of 1829, he went to the town of Tynemouth to recover. And there at a little chapel called Ebenezer, Mueller would discover the strength and the joy of God's Word, and the confidence that comes to the life of a believer when they begin to understand the doctrines of sovereign grace. You see, for 10 days, Mueller lived with a man whose name we don't know, but to whom he often referred. His faithfulness changed Mueller's life forever. This is what he wrote. Through the instrumentality of this brother, the Lord bestowed a great blessing on me, for which I shall have cause to thank Him throughout eternity. Before this period, I had been much opposed to the doctrines of election, particular redemption, and final persevering grace. So much so that a few days after my arrival at Townmouth, I called election a devilish doctrine. I knew nothing about the choice of God's people, and I did not believe that the child of God, when once made so, was safe forever. But now I was brought to examine these precious truths by the Word of God. It should be important for us to note that in Mueller's life, the discovery of these fundamental doctrines of the faith, which are often argued against as being anti-evangelistic, would in fact be the fuel for the dramatic ministry that Mueller would have and his impact in spreading the gospel. He writes, "In the course of time, I came to this country, and it pleased God then to show me the doctrines of grace in a way in which I had not seen them before. At first, I hated them. If this were true, I could do nothing at all in the conversion of sinners, as all would depend upon God and the working of His Spirit. But when it pleased God to reveal these truths to me, and my heart was brought to such a state that I could say, I am not only content simply to be a hammer, an axe, or a saw in God's hands, but I shall count it an honor to be taken up and used by Him in any way. And if sinners are converted through my instrumentality, from my inmost soul, I will give Him all the glory. The Lord gave me to see fruit. The Lord gave me to see fruit in abundance. Sinners were converted by scores, and ever since God has used me in one way or another in His service." The firm doctrinal foundation and utter confidence in the sovereign work of God would be the bedrock foundation upon which his life and his ministry would now stand. And what a life and what a ministry it would be. This man was an incredible influence, and he did it by his own testimony through prayer. Most of his life would be lived in Bristol, England. There, in 1834, at the age of 28, he founded the Scripture Knowledge Institute, an institute which still exists today. SKI, you can find and look up on that yourself on the internet. This institute has five branches, as it were, established by Mueller. Number one, we want to build schools for children and adults in order to teach them the Bible. Number two, we want to distribute Bibles. Number three, we want to distribute tracts and books of Scripture instruction. Number four, we want to support missionaries all around the world. And number five, quote, to board, clothe, and scripturally educate destitute children. It was that fifth leg of the Institute for which Mueller would become renowned throughout the history of the church. He built five large orphan houses, and during his lifetime, he housed 10,024 orphans. When he started, there was housing in all of England for only 3,600 orphans. And there were twice that many children under the age of eight in prison. That's what they did with the kids. Kids were abandoned at an alarming rate. This was a time of great disease. Their parents were dying. But Mueller became involved. And his work inspired so many others that it is said that 50 years after he began his first orphanage, there were over 100,000 orphans being cared for in the country of England by himself and others who were motivated by his ministry. He did all this while preaching three times a week as he pastored the church in Bristol. From 1830 to 1898, Mueller wrote and preached over 10,000 expository sermons. After he turned 70, mark that, some of you, he traveled to 42 countries, preaching on average once a day, every day, And he estimated himself that in those years he addressed over 3 million people. At the age of 87, he ended his travels. He came back home to his home church and he continued to preach until at Bristol he died at the age of 92. He led a prayer meeting on Wednesday evening, March the 9th, 1898. The next day, a cup of tea was served to his room, as was his custom, at 7 a.m., but no one came to the door. They found George Mueller dead on his floor beside his bed. Tens of thousands lined the streets for his funeral service. Individuals from all around the world who had heard of the impact this man had had in the lives of children and for the kingdom of God. The orphans of Bristol mourned. For indeed, that day, they had lost another father. He read his Bible end to end over 200 times. The confidence that he gained from God's Word was absolutely immense in his life. I want to share some brief insights with you from Mueller's own words for your own encouragement and I believe for your own challenge as it concerns God's Word and prayer. This was a banner that Mueller lived under for his entire life. I wrote it for you. I want you to get this. God's listening to our voice absolutely depends on our listening to His. If you want to have a dynamic impact in your prayer life, you need to get your arms around that. It's not about what you say to God. It's about what God has said to you. And if you want Him to hear from you, you better understand what He has said. This was Mueller's belief. Listen to Mueller. God Himself has condescended to become an author. And I'm ignorant about that most precious book which His Holy Spirit has caused to be written for the instrumentality and the work of His servants. It contains that I ought to know, and the knowledge of which will lead me, I believe, to true happiness. Therefore, I ought to read again and again this most precious book. This book of books, most earnestly, most prayerfully, and with much meditation. And in this practice, I ought to continue every day of my life. And so he did. And as I neglected the Word, he writes, I was nearly for 4 years so ignorant. He hadn't read Scripture from his conversion for the first 4 years. I didn't even know the fundamentals of my faith, he said, and had to have them spoken to me rather than having learned them from the Word of God. And this lack of knowledge most sadly kept me back from working steadily in those early days. For when it pleased the Lord, however, in August 1829, to bring me really to the Scriptures, my life and walk forever changed. And though ever since then I have very much fallen short of what I might have done and ought to have been, yet by the grace of God, I have been enabled to live much nearer to Him than ever before. If any believers read this, who practically prefer other books to the Holy Scriptures, and who enjoy the writings of men much more than the Word of God, may they be warned by my loss. And before I leave this subject, he writes, I would only add, if the reader understands very little of the Word of God, he ought to read it very much. For the Spirit explains the Word by the Word. And if he enjoys the reading of the Word little, that's just the reason why he should read it much. For the frequent reading of the Scriptures creates a delight in them, so that the more we read them, the more we desire to do so. That should challenge every one of you. Essentially, Mueller says, let your excuses be none. Read the Bible, God's holy Word. Well, it was God's Word that led him to be a powerful man of prayer. If ever there was a prayer warrior, and I'm not crazy about that phrase, but if ever there was one, George Mueller was a prayer warrior. The Word of God was his constant companion in prayer. He would sit for hours with his Bible open, listening to God, and then as that Word impacted his life, he would open up his heart to God in prayer. He would focus on God's truths. He would meditate on God's promises. He would find in them the means by which he would live every day of his life. Listen to his own words very carefully. Listen. It had pleased God in his abundant mercy to bring my mind into such a state that I was willing to carry out into my life whatever I should find in the Scriptures. I would say to myself, I will do his will. For instance, he writes, resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use and persecute you. So says Matthew 5:39-44, and so shall I believe. Also in Romans 12:8, owe no man anything but to love one another. And also Luke 22:33, sell what you have and give alms. Now listen, Mueller understood and was constantly reminded that most people disagreed with such a literal application of those kind of profound commands from the mouth of our Lord. But he surmised just the opposite. He surmised they meant what they said. John 17:17 says, Mueller wrote, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Well, I must believe this word literally and commit my ways to it, though it is certain many difficulties will come. This commitment to the obedience of the plain reading of God's word drove Mueller to form some foundational convictions by which his ministry would always be led. These are very challenging principles. There's only four of them. I want you to look at them. Principle number one, not to receive ever any fixed salary. Mueller believed two things about the minister's work pertaining to receiving a fixed salary. Number one, that will often and dangerously lead to an unwarranted solicitation of money that ought to have been given by free will and not under coercion. Secondly, there is a great risk of placing more dependence on human sources of income than on the living God Himself, in whom I have been called, Mueller wrote, to trust completely. So you see, he read Scripture, he believed what the Bible said, and he let that impact him very practically in his daily living. Second principle, never to ask any human being for help. That is concerning the ministry. No matter how great the need, Mueller committed to take his wants and his needs to God. And this he did. And this is the only place he took his wants and his needs. He believed that when God said he would care for his own, there could be no other place to go, indeed, to find that care and that need. Number three, Mueller's principle was to live literally in adherence to the admonition, sell that thou hast and give alms. The effect for Mueller was simply this. He never saved anything. He spent everything God entrusted to him into God's kingdom for God's work, for God's glory. This was how he lived his daily life. Most of that went to fix and mend the needs of the orphans in his care. Number four, to live literally in adherence to the admonition, owe no man anything. For Mueller and for his ministry, that meant he would never buy on credit. He would never borrow anything. He would only trust God to provide. Those principles, listen, weren't any easier to follow in the 1800s than they are to follow today. But Mueller understood those principles from God's Word to be timeless. Didn't matter what age you lived in. And here was his purpose. Listen to his words. I was constantly brought cases before me which prove that one of the especial things that the children of God most desperately need in our day is to have their faith strengthened. And so I long for to have to point my brethren to a visible proof that our God and Father is the same faithful God as He ever was. He is ever willing to prove Himself to us. He is ever willing to provide for us. He is, listen, the living God in our day as much as He was the living God in the days of Scripture. My spirit longed
to be the instrument in strengthening the faith of those around me by giving them not only instances from the Word of God, valuable as they are and timeless though they be, but of His willingness and ability to help all who rely upon Him today, to show proof that He is the very same today. I knew that the Word of God ought to be enough, and it was by grace always enough for me. But still, I considered I ought to lend a helping hand to those around me who struggled with such a faith. And so I have lived as an example to my brethren. I therefore judge myself to be bound to the servant of the Church of Christ. In the particular point in which I had obtained mercy, namely, I had learned to take God at His Word and to rely on it. The first object of the work was, and still is, that God would be magnified by everything that I do. By the work of the orphans, by the work of my ministry, by the work of my prayer, by the work of my faith, without anyone ever asking for it, without there ever being anyone asked for help, thereby someone might look and say, you know, His God is faithful still. His God answers prayers still. Any intentional commitment to take God at His Word and rely upon it is a commitment not to be taken lightly. I printed that quote. That's the most often quote from George Mueller that you'll hear repeated. Take God at His Word and rely upon it. A well-to-do woman visited him once, just to give you an example of how this worked. She was quite wealthy, and she came to discuss a possible gift to his orphanage, to which she had heard perhaps could benefit from her money. He never asked her for any money, but when she was gone, he asked God for it. That's the way Mueller worked. And the way he did it helps you to understand what he understood about God. Here's what he wrote. After she was gone, I asked the Lord that He would be pleased to make this dear sister so happy in Himself and to enable her so to realize that her true riches and her real inheritance was in the Lord Jesus and the reality of her heavenly calling. And then she might be constrained by His Holy Spirit cheerfully to lay down this 500 pounds that I so desperately need. He just took it to God. God, open up her heart. Have her fall so in love with you that she would desire to support your work. This life of trust, this leaning on a dependence of prayer, wasn't confined to just building orphanages. He wasn't just about orphanages. In fact, that was the smallest part of his work. He applied the same approach, listening, to saving faith in the lives of those around him. He wrote this, "Thus am I myself now waiting on God for certain and particular blessings for which I have daily besought Him for 10 years and 6 months without one day's intermission." 10 years and 6 months without any intermission in a single day he has asked God and has waited. Still the answer hasn't come. It hasn't been given. The answer concerning, listen, the conversion of certain individuals in and around my life. Though in the meantime, I've received many thousands of answers to prayer. I've also prayed daily without intermission for the conversion of other individuals about 10 years, for others 6 or 7 years, for others 3 or 2 years, and still the answer is not yet granted, but still I pray for the conversion of those persons. While in the meantime, I'll tell you, many thousands of my prayers have been answered, and also many souls have been converted for whom I had not been praying. Do you hear that? 10.5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 3 years, 4 years, with no answer. But still he prayed. Confident, patient prayer. Listen to his words again. I lay particular stress on this for the benefit of those who may suppose that I only need to ask of God and receive it once, or that I might pray concerning anything, and the answer, surely God must provide. One can only expect to obtain answers to prayers which are according to the mind of God. And even then, patience and faith may be exercised for many years, even as mine are exercised in the manner to which I've referred. And yet I continue daily in my prayers. And I expect, listen, daily the answer. And so surely expecting the answer that I've often thanked God that He'll surely give it. Be encouraged, dear friends, Mueller wrote. With fresh earnestness, give yourself to prayer. If you can only be sure that you ask things which are for the glory of God and for the glory of God alone. Oh, that we could learn from this man how to pray. Look what he said. Give yourselves to prayer. Be encouraged. Be sure. And be certain that it's only for the glory of God. To suppose, he wrote, that we have difficulty about money only is to misunderstand our daily ministry and to be in great mistake. There occur hundreds of other wants and of other difficulties. In fact, it's a rare day in my life that some difficulty or some want does not occur. But often there are many multiplied difficulties and many multiplied wants and needs that must be met, that must be overcome that very same day. All these I have determined to meet by prayer, with faith. It is, listen, our universal remedy for the Christian. And I've never been confounded. Patient, persevering, believing prayer offered up to God in the name of the Lord Jesus has always, sooner or later, brought the blessing. I do not despair, by God's grace, of obtaining any blessing from Him. Providing, I can be sure, it would be only and completely for His glory. Isn't that amazing? This man building these orphanages in his life, raising by today's standards over $13 million to support the orphans, never once asking for anything, always and only beseeching God to provide the needs. I submit to you that George Mueller's life talks. And this is what it says. It calls us to the foundations of God's sovereign grace. That's why he could live the way he could live. It calls us to a confident trust in the Word of God. It calls us to prayer. It calls us to be patient. It calls us to faith. And it calls us to a life of blessed service to Him. As we read this morning in the quote I put in your worship guide, he delighted most in God. That was what moved him. I'm going to take just another minute, if you would. I'd like you to kind of understand the real genuine, emotional, normal attachment that Mueller had to those around him. He was married twice. He buried two wives. He had five children and he buried them all. At the end of his life, there was Mueller, his Lord, and his orphans, historians have written. When his wife, whom he was married to for 39 years, took sick and died, he preached her funeral, and we have the complete text of that message that he preached. Listen to what he said. Were we happy? Verily we were. With every year, our happiness increased more and more. I never saw my beloved wife at any time when I met her unexpectedly anywhere in Bristol without being delighted so to do. Did you hear that, husbands? I never saw my wife anywhere that it didn't delight me to see her. I never met her in the orphan houses without my heart being delighted to do so. Day by day, as we met in our dressing room at the orphan houses to wash our hands before dinner and tea, I was delighted to meet her, and she was equally pleased to see me. Thousands of times I told her, "My darling, I never saw you at any time since you became my wife without my being delighted to see you." 4:20, this is from his message. Lord's Day, February 6, 1870, Mary died. I fell on my knees and I thanked God for her release and for having taken her to himself. And I asked the Lord to help and support us. The last scripture which I ever read to my precious wife was this. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Now, he writes, if we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have received grace. We are partakers of grace, and to all such He will also give glory. I said to myself, with regard to the latter part, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. I am in myself a poor and worthless sinner, but I've been saved by the blood of Christ. And I do not live in sin. I walk uprightly before my God. Therefore, if it is really good for me, my darling wife will be raised up again. Sick as she is, God will restore her. But if she's not restored again, then it would not have been a good thing for me, I believe. And so, my heart was at rest. I was satisfied with God. And all this springs, as I have said before, from taking God at His word and believing what He says. Do you get that? You ought to write that down somewhere in your Bible. I was satisfied with God. I've taken Him at His word. And I've believed what He says. George Mueller's life talks. And your life talks. What is it saying? Let's pray together. Father, thank You for this great testimony of